Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Leadership Enigma. Here's a conversation I'm having frequently, and that is, how do you start to focus and turbocharge the center of an organization? Now, for many organizations, that is a lot of people. That is a lot of diverse thought leadership. So how do you harness it? How does that part of an organization become the great enabler as opposed to the great blocker? So like all of these episodes, I find people who are far wiser than me. And this time I've had to reach across the pond and talk to the wonderful Dominic George, who is sat in the USA. He'll explain more about this. But he has a passion and a focus and a niche. And that is the work that he's doing as a leadership coach in the messy middle for the middle managers. And also he'll talk about his niche, which is helping and supporting black men who are working in that population and are aspiring to travel up or indeed to different parts of an organization. And I'm really interested in relation to what he's hearing, what he's seeing, and what he's experiencing. Trust me, you don't want to miss this episode in relation to how do we leverage the messy middle. Come back to me just after this. Hi, I'm Adam Pacifico, and welcome to the Leadership Enigma, a world-ranked, award-winning podcast that's insatiably curious as regards what leaders do, how they do it, and importantly, why. We'll delve into the human doing, but even deeper into the human being and the power of human-centered leadership to drive sustainable change. So whether you're an entrepreneur, business owner, corporate executive, each week we speak to global experts, academics, rising stars, ambitious upstarts and disruptors, as together we will discover that success leaves clues. Dominic, it's a massive warm welcome to the Leadership Enigma. How are you, sir?
I am doing excellent, and I'm so grateful and honored to be here, Adam.
It is good to see you. Just tell everybody, where are you in the world at the moment?
Yeah, so currently I'm in New York City, in the land of the place that never sleeps, never stops going, never stops moving, but loving it every minute of it.
Now, you're not from New York now, are you? You're from the other side. Let's go West Coast, right?
Yeah. So I'm originally from Oakland, California, and born and raised, lived there for about 30 years before I eventually navigated over to the cold, left the sunshine to come to New York City. And honestly, I feel like it's never felt more vibrant than ever.
Apart from sometimes the lack of sunshine, but that's I digress slightly.
Yes.
Now, I know you're passionate. We've spoken before this episode. You're passionate in relation to the niche that you operate with, and that is really supporting black men who are middle managers. And when we chatted, we wanted to deconstruct that because I think there's a number of elements to it. But let's really start with you. Help the people who are listening and watching this, Dominic. Tell us a little bit about your journey so that we start to understand why you're doing what it is that you do.
Yeah, definitely. And I appreciate the opportunity, Adam. So like I said, I'm originally from Oakland, California. And during my tenure in my career in Oakland, I spent a lot of time in the nonprofit space originally, where I was looking to really enhance my leadership along the way. And some of the things that I noticed, I worked in education spaces, I worked in community development spaces, I worked in fundraising spaces, a number of different arenas and industries during my time in California. And one of the things that I really noticed was along my journey, I was always the person responsible for seeking out professional development. I was interested in it, but the companies that I was working for didn't really have a good setup. And so I was always going external outside of my company to figure out, how do I develop myself as a leader? How do I develop those transferable skills? And no matter what company that I was in, whether that was the nonprofit space, for-profit, or fundraising, I realized that there was a lack of professional development that eventually led me to want to enhance my career a little bit further. I went out to grad school at Columbia University in New York City, which is how I got here, and have just never looked back since. But even in my time in government spaces in New York, in my time continuing in education, I went down a policy route at some point, advocacy route, and then started to consult with other for-profit, nonprofit companies, and I realized that they were all struggling with something similar. They were struggling to really hone in on their manager group, their manager team, and support them in growing along the way. People were either experiencing some level of attrition in their company where middle managers were leaving, or they just had employees who were not satisfied at some point in their career journey. And it was no different than myself, which is why I kept moving around. I kept leaning into external spaces to try to grow. And when I realized that this was such a trend, I decided that in order to really make something work, I had to create it. And so I started to really hone in and focus on those middle managers. And I particularly niched down to a space where I realized that Black men in that conversation were often left behind, often ignored in the equation altogether. And I just wanted to hone into that focus.
I love that. And so let me ask you some questions, because I want to know, where did this passion come from for you in relation to personal development? So elements of self-awareness, but also developing yourself as an individual. Where was that coming from?
Yeah, so I just have a passion for continuous learning. It was through my love for education. I had a teacher, I want to say it was in fifth grade, who really sparked this desire just to read. And I've always been an avid reader, always had a vivid imagination. And it was really inspired by my fifth grade teacher. And so along my education journey, I continued to dream. I continued to wanted to understand, like, what are all the possibilities of growth? What are all the possibilities of leading other people? What are all the possibilities where you can leverage a group of community to really go further? And there were a few different spaces along my journey. I was a professional athlete for a number of years. I swam at a competitive level. And in that space, I realized the value of leaning into other people. No matter where I was in my sports journey, there was always someone who I was competing with, always someone who was pushing me further. And that similar mindset that I had as an athlete transferred over to the professional space. No matter where I was along my journey, there was always that employee, that friend who wanted to push me further. I wanted to push them further. And I realized that as I was working in different spaces, that I just wanted to be around people who wanted to grow. And for me, the love for professional development came when I went through a personal development course where I was aligned with a coach, or actually I was aligned with multiple coaches in this professional development opportunity that I participated in. And the ability for multiple people to see different lenses and different perspectives on how to support you in growing along your journey was just so fascinating for me. And it was in that experience that I realized I want to do this for as many people as possible, because I thought it was life-changing. It was transformational. And I believe that everyone deserves an opportunity to really leverage their skills and be the best that they can be. And so that, for me, that was through professional development.
Right. And so it's good to understand some of the experiences that you have had, which have led you now to the focus that you have. Let's talk a little bit about the middle manager. And I think I've termed it, I've heard this from somewhere, the messy middle. I had that conversation actually with a client.
Yes.
And she chuckled when I said the messy middle. I think it was kind of, she probably thought, actually, that's probably quite accurate for the organization. What do you mean by middle managers? Because that's going to mean different things to different sized organizations. And you've had experience across, as you say, the corporate world, the public sector world. What do we really mean by middle managers, Dominic?
Yeah, so when I think about middle managers, I think about that group that's right before the group of employees who are connected to our senior leadership who are defining policy, who are defining the direction of the company. They're like right before that group. And so when I think about middle managers, I think about the group that has a direct tie to the individual contributors of companies, have a direct tie upward to the senior leadership who is making those decisions around company direction, company vision, company strategy. And they're sort of like the in-between of both of those worlds. And the reason that I love middle managers is because they are able to weave in between both of those spaces. And that just adds so much value to the company to have an ear in both spaces, to be able to pivot and weave in between areas of the company. And it's often an underutilized and undervalued area, but we know that it's important. It just doesn't always get the focus that it needs. But that's what I mean when I think about middle manager, just that group that's the in between the senior leadership and the individual contributors.
And I think that highlights just how important this particular population is. And the larger the business, the larger that population will be. When you and I chatted a couple of weeks ago, I think one of the things that you said, which piqued my interest, was that the middle manager gets missed. And considering that the middle manager population can be thousands and thousands of people, why is it that organizations are missing that population because of the size and the potential that they have? Why is it happening?
Yeah, so for me, I think it's an issue of scale often,
right,
where you named it earlier, there's such a large group in that population. And there's often competing interests. There's often competing priorities for that group, depending on which department you're in, which industry you're in. And my experience is that overwhelming feeling of senior leaders trying to drive the direction of the company, which is often focused on bottom line, because there's so much going on in the middle manager group, and you named it so well, the messy middle, it can often be messy with those competing priorities. And I believe that sometimes senior leaders get so overwhelmed that they then start to step back and say, I don't know if there's anything that we could actually do right now. And then they keep waiting. They're trying to figure out what to do, and they're ideating and they're brainstorming. And by the time they get to a solution or a possible solution, then it becomes too late and people start to transition, and they're disgruntled or just dissatisfied, and they're trying to figure out solutions for themselves. And so it's in that waiting period that I think people often get missed.
That's a really interesting concept, because, you know, we do immersive experiences with people. And sometimes if we create our own messiness or our own chaos around an experience, sometimes people find it difficult to find their value proposition. And I think that's what I'm hearing from you, Dominic, is that it can be messy and there are pulls and pushes and lots of things going on. So difficulty maybe for an individual or even a collective to find their value. Tell me a little bit again about, from your experience, this tension between maybe high expectation and a lack of resource or even a lack of understanding as regards to the potential that they have. What are you seeing in your experience?
Yeah, and this really varies depending on the company size, financial health of a company, to really understand who has the resources to really go external for supports or internal.
Right.
And so I want to name that caveat inside of that.
Of course.
But what I'm noticing is that inside the resource and value conversation, you have a number of people who have so many transferable skills. And I truly do think it's a miss for the company when you ignore the messy middle, because they are so valuable to the vision of your organization. They're the ones driving the conversations towards the individual contributors, say, you can do this, you can keep going. And they're pulling on those transferable skills to really drive the company's vision forward. When I think about resources, I often think about companies are just, I think about a couple of things.
Okay.
The first thing I think about is this conversation that's happening around Gen Z and different generations, whether it's millennial, Gen X, and the different experiences that people are having in those generations of employees. And I think that's where a lot of the confusion comes in, where it's like, we have too many different individuals who want different competing things, and they often don't know where to leverage the resources. For me, I think it's in the transferable skills. I think it's helping people understand that they have options, helping people understand that if you have multiple departments, there's an opportunity to really leverage the transferable cross-functional, cross-development, or cross-department, skill sets,
right,
for people to really understand their value. What I often do when I'm working with companies and I'm working with individuals is I'm pushing them to look at every cross department available in their company. Mm-hmm. And I'm also pushing them to really look at who in your department has the influence to leverage your voice in different spaces. Like, those are the two priority things that I immediately start doing when I'm working with individuals, right, and I'm looking at companies. I'm trying to see what is the interconnectedness that is already happening, because that's the place that you want to start to leverage. When I think about resources, a miss that I often see is that companies are not prioritizing the cross-functional development that gets to happen between leaders. They're often focused on one group at a time, or they're focusing on one problem, one challenge at a time, which is great. But there's such a great opportunity to do that cross-functional development, and companies often miss it. And so as a result, I see people sort of still waiting. They're still waiting for the support. They're waiting for the solution. And in between that time, their value gets less and less and less, or they see their value as less, and their mindset starts to shift. Their interest in the navigation of the company starts to shift. And it is truly a loss for the company when you start to ignore how to properly allocate your resources in that way.
I can imagine any organization that gets it wrong will just start to see people voting with their feet. Now, you know, the pandemic was one example of some organizations getting, yes, things wrong, and a mass exodus took place, which is incredibly damaging to an organization. Let me ask you something, because I've had a number of people talk about the multi-generational aspect. Rachele Fakadi has been a guest on the show a couple of times, who's done a lot of research. And I'm wondering how much communication plays a part in this dynamic, because we've got potentially five generations coming into organizations. We perhaps have my age group who might be leading businesses and trying to create some form of legacy, one would hope. But is there a miscommunication piece in this equation? Are you seeing or hearing that?
Absolutely. I think that's the number one thing that's happening. You have a group of individuals who are coming in fresh with a number of different ideas. And then you have a group of people who are like, I've already done the work. I've established the process, the structure, the foundation. And then you have the in-between who are like weaving in between both of those spaces. And often, I think that there are so many great things that are happening in companies, and we don't do enough of the communication in between the through line of, this is what was created and why, this is where we're going in terms of innovation, and this is where there's an opportunity to collaborate and innovate. There's not enough communication across companies that I've seen, and it's a big struggle for a lot of different industries to effectively communicate, effectively market, and again, depending on the size of your budget, it could often be that area where you're like, okay, we got to get stuff done. We got to focus on our customer base or our clientele, and the communication internally is what gets damaged in the process.
Dominic, am I right in thinking that first-time leaders might be part of this messy middle, because those people who have now had a few years in the business, because then there's a double whammy, isn't there? There's an element of leading for the first time, which is not always easy, and now being part of the messy mental population. Are you seeing that there's almost those two come together to create, in some cases, the perfect storm for people?
I love these terms.
Sorry. I'm a classic for cliches, aren't I? I know.
It's great. It sort of sums up the group itself. I see a number of different new leaders coming in, and they're so passionate and they're so excited about shifting things and changing things. And at the base of it, they really just want to make impact. And I think all of us, when we show up to our jobs, when we show up to work, we just want to make impact, and we want to feel like our contribution matters, our contribution added to the success and the vision of the company, and really the impact of the clientele that we're working with. And so, yes, I do see in that middle manager group, a group of new managers, a group of innovative individuals who are trying to make shifts in their communities, in their environment. And it is a double whammy because you have individuals who are just jumping in, and they think that sometimes they have all the answers. And then sometimes you have a group who have led for a long time and still have the answers, but don't always have the voice to be leveraged in the conversation of change.
Let me ask you another question about this population from your experience. What are some of the limiting beliefs that you come across at this level of an organization? Because I can imagine that people can be a product of the environment within which they're operating. So help us understand some of those limiting beliefs.
Yes, such a great question. The limiting beliefs that I often come in contact with, I spend a lot of time in the mindset conversation with this middle manager group. And one of the things that I often see is people who have these great ideas, who are visionaries, and they don't think that they have the impact that they truly actually have. And so I'm often coaching middle managers to just build their confidence, to say, when you step into rooms, your experience, your voice, your experience that you've come into this company with, that you have a fresh pair of eyes when you've entered in this company, all of that matters. And it's part of the reason that you were hired as an individual in this space, because of your newness, of your experience, of your set of fresh eyes and experience. And so I'm often seeing these new managers and mid-level managers in spaces just have a lack of self-confidence in the beginning. And then over time, as you start to lean into your strengths, as you start to understand what the strengths are, I often see people sort of blossom and really make the impact that they're looking for. But that's one of the first things that I see, is the lack of self-confidence. The other place that I'm noticing in this group in terms of mindset is, I think it's that intergenerational concept where you step into spaces where you have individuals who have been leading for a number of years. And oftentimes the mindset is, well, they should have the answer, or they should have the solution because they've been doing it for so long. And for the middle managers who are just stepping into spaces and just leading for the first time or the first few times, I often push them to say, like, you're actually leading to your group. You're leading to your individual community, your peers. And so your experience also matters in that equation. It's in the blend of both perspectives that we actually get to leverage success.
When we first chatted, Dominic, I think we were immediately on the same page as regards the opportunity for any organization to leverage and harness the messy middle. A colleague of mine, former colleague, Professor Tony O'Driscoll, showed me actually that they're a real dynamo of a business, because they can positively impact the strategy, the results of an organization, the culture, and the ability for the organization to be agile enough to change. And these things are all interconnected. So I think we're on the same page in relation to the importance of that population within an organization. What would be maybe just some of your key things, your key points of advice for any senior leader listening or watching this in relation to getting the most out of the middle of their organization? What would maybe be your top couple of things for he or she to really consider?
Yeah, I think it's really seeing people. That would be the first thing, is really seeing people as they walk into the door, as they're joining your company, as they're leading in this middle manager space, to really see them. Because it's in the seeing and being with people that you really get to leverage the relationship to drive your company forward. And that's often the first miss that people make, is they don't sit with their people long enough to really understand the value, the need, the challenge that individuals are experiencing, and the successes. We often ignore that piece of the early wins and the early successes of that group. But I would say the first thing is really seeing people, being with people, and creating space to gain some understanding. The second piece of advice that I would offer a senior leader who's listening in, who wants to shift the direction of their company, is to start to tailor professional development opportunities to your middle manager group. It is the space that I've named in this podcast conversation so far, is the place that we often miss way too frequently. And if you're a leader in your company, you have the privilege and the opportunity and the resources most likely to really shift that conversation and really shift the focus on your middle managers. That could be a series of town hall conversations with the middle manager group, bringing everybody together to talk about what are the challenges that you're seeing, what are the possibilities, and where do you want to go as a team? That's one way to do that. But there's so many informal ways where you could leverage conversations and relationships to get to the root of what's really happening for that group. So that's the second thing I would say, okay, to really leverage professional development opportunities. And the third, I would say, is to really pull people forward. You are in a privileged space where you get to create those opportunities for this group.
Yep.
And they're really waiting. They're hungry. They're excited for the possibility to lead more. And it's really an invitation to pull that group forward, to say, this is a potential place, or this is a possible place where I could see you really leveraging your skill set to lead in the company. So those would be the top three spaces that I would say someone in a leadership position, yep, a senior leadership position, could really leverage the messy middle.
I appreciate that, Dominic. Does this get harder and harder the larger the organization gets? Because, you know, as I look in some of the empty seats in the studio right now, it's a shame that we're not together. One day we will be. But I've had leaders, yes, who have sat in the studio whose organizations are 400,000 people strong in 120 something countries. Does that now become an unmanageable request for them?
It's a challenge for sure. I don't think it's unmanageable though. Especially if you're leveraging your resources in a way that focuses on this group, I don't think it's a unmanageable request. It is a lot of work, but the yield and the return is so worth it. It's so worth the value that you'll get on the back end to, yep, invest early, to sit with this group, because they're going to be the individuals who are going to be your long-term standing voice. They're going to be your long-term standing leadership group. And the more you invest in them now, the more yield you'll see down the line.
Yep.
That's the first thing I'll say that about that challenge. The other is that I'm pretty confident that across our industries, across our organizations, you already have those leaders who are able to rally the middle manager group. They're just waiting to be seen. And so when senior leaders often think they have to be the individuals creating all the solutions, it's not really true. You just have to identify the few in the group who are already ready and energized and already have the ear of that entire group to really leverage everyone forward. And it's really about a collaborative effort. And so if you're in the senior leadership space and, yep, you're thinking you have to do it on your own, then you're, I would say you're mistaken. And there's a group that's really waiting for you to voice what you need.
Now, we all know about the power of really harnessing diversity of thought. And when we've got a messy middle, when we've got any workforce, one hopes we've got real diversity of thought, which I think neatly takes me into the focus that you have, which is helping Black men within the middle management arena. Tell me a little bit about some of your experiences working with that group and really the lessons that you would love to share with leaders who are hearing and watching this now.
Yeah, thank you for the question as well. The first thing that comes to mind is this is such a dynamic group and such a group of dynamic individuals who, in my experience, are so underleveraged and so underutilized in organizations. And it's truly a miss. Like I've coached hundreds and thousands of people. I've worked with a number of different organizations and consultancy, and then I've worked with companies as well in my tenure. And it's such a hard conversation to have for many people when you really look at the statistics of who's leveraged in leadership. Yep. And what does the diversity of leadership look like across the board, whether that's inside of your company or parts of boards, national boards, wherever you see your leadership growth curve and succession planning happening, you could often see the data that Black men are often not in those spaces. And it's a huge miss. And so I see this group as such a dynamic group of individuals. When I'm working with Black men, what I often see is they're often waiting. They're waiting for that possibility. They're waiting for permission to be in leadership. They're waiting for those sponsors within the companies to leverage their voice forward so that they get the opportunities that they want and often deserve, but don't have the access to them. And so in my coaching, what I'm often doing is having Black men carve out those spaces for themselves, because it's just been proven that being underutilized, being undervalued, being often ignored for certain roles, and sometimes that comes with a little bit of discomfort for multiple groups, and other times it's just access to professional development resources. But what I'm often doing is coaching Black men to really define that space for themselves and curate those sponsors that you know are going to push your voice forward. It's a combination of both. It's carving out the space, and it's also leveraging the sponsors that you do have, but looking for the sponsors and organizations that you might not even recognize as a sponsor or recognize as an individual who could really leverage your career.
Now, that sounds like good advice for leaders right across the board as well, Dominic. In your experience, and this is your personal experience as a Black man working, and also the work that you're doing as a coach, are things improving, Dominic?
Such a great question, Adam. I do think things are improving. And I go back to that generational dialogue that's happening. And one thing that I often get excited about is the various different generations who are choosing to collaborate, even amongst the frustration that's happening. And I think that frustration, again, is the lack of communication around value and contribution and impact. But during that conversation of collaboration with the various different generations that are happening within companies, I do see windows and doors been opened for other Black men to enter into the space. And I do think things are changing. They're slow. But I do see companies seeking opportunities to really shift the dynamic of how they want to work with Black men, how they want to include Black men in leadership. And often I think that sometimes ties back to the global response that we saw when Black men were often front and center during the pandemic. Right. And particularly in the US, you see the dynamic of like police police brutality and the juvenile justice system. And there's just been a heavy focus on Black men in general. And so as a result of some of those mainstream conversations, I've seen a huge shift in companies trying to create space for Black men, trying to create avenues and windows and doors for them to enter into leadership spaces, which is really cool to see.
Right.
And I think it's slow, but it is definitely happening.
So it's good to understand that if there are some events and some quite unfortunate events, that's an understatement, but they are catalysts for change. Yeah. Listen, let me pull things together. And I know that we've talked about a lot, and again, we've really scratched the surface, but I'm grateful for you being part of the conversation. If you could pick two of, you think, the best pieces of leadership advice or ask for any leader in relation to galvanizing the messy middle and proactively promoting diversity of thought, where would you land on that advice, Dominic? What have you got for us?
I would say the first step is to include diverse opportunities on whatever your national board is.
Right.
That is like the foundational piece that will really... You could hear me?
Yeah, so I said it was, I mean, setting the tone right at the very top.
Oh, yes. I would say that would be the first step to really leverage the national board conversation to really impact change across the board. So that would be the first advice.
Okay.
The second advice that I would give is to really create those windows and doors of opportunity for a succession plan that prioritizes diversity in your leadership. We all have some of us have the privilege of thinking through what a succession plan of our company is going to look like.
Right.
It's often tied to our development plans. It's tied to our financial plans. It's tied to leveraging that middle manager group as they move into senior leadership, as you're thinking about the gaps and opportunities that your company has, really thinking about sitting down with your succession plan alongside your strategic plan and making sure that there's diversity in that conversation. Between those two things, I think you will often get it right. It's when you don't have people around you who are diverse in thought, who are diverse in ethnicity, who are diverse in perspective, that you lean towards getting it wrong.
I think that's wonderful advice. And so my last question to you is, how do people connect and get in touch with you, Dominic, to continue the conversation or get you involved in their conversation?
Yeah, I look forward to supporting any company who's interested in elevating their middle manager group. I also welcome any individual Black man or not who's interested in just individual coaching. You can find me on LinkedIn as the best option. My LinkedIn handle is Dominic C. George. And send me a message on there, and that would be the perfect opportunity to engage with me. You could also email me directly, which is dominic@visionleadershipforlife.com.
We'll put all of that in the show notes as well, Dominic, so that it's there and people can just see it and then click straight on it. Listen, thank you so much for taking the time to have this conversation. This is an important subject on many fronts, and I think we've just scratched the surface. So I do hope people reach out, and I do hope that maybe we have a follow-up on this as well. We go a little bit deeper. But for now, I just want to say a massive thank you for being part and parcel of the Leadership Enigma. Dominic, you're a star.
Thank you so much, Adam. And it was such an honor to be here. And thank you for welcoming me on the podcast.
Take great care. Many thanks now.
Thank you.
And that's a wrap, Dominic. It's as simple as that. How was that?
Awesome. That was great. I really love talking to you. It was just like the first conversation. So I do wish I was in person to see you and go back and forth, but we'll have to figure that out another time.
The studio is here for you whenever you find yourself next in London. Yes. You are more than welcome. A, it would be lovely to meet you in person, and B, the studio is kind of fun. So always come in and say hello to us. Listen, thank you very much for doing that. This will probably go out in about 3 weeks. We'll edit just to check that the visual feed was fine. And what we'll do then is I'll send you a link and then you can take a listen to it. Give me the thumbs up. I can't see us having to edit anything from a content perspective, You have a listen to it and then it'll go out. I got two asks for you, Dominic. You ready? Here we go. Okay. When it goes live, you have to share this with the entire world, number one. And secondly, if you've enjoyed this experience, do you know someone who you think might be an amazing guest? Many of our guests come referrals from guests as well as a steady influx of requests. But we have a lot of success with guests who refer guests because it becomes personal then already. So have a think about that as well, Dominic, and let me know if you think there is a person that you feel would be an amazing guest, either on Zoom, which obviously we can do it like this, or even someone who is perhaps more local. It matters not. We can cater for both. Is that all right?
Okay, perfect. Definitely. Right. I will definitely do that.
Well, we'll stay connected and just want to say, listen, have an amazing weekend and thank you very much for taking the time out and joining us here.
Thank you, Adam.
Take great care, my friend. Thank you. Join us again next week for more curiosity and insight with the Leadership Enigma. We'd love to hear your comments on today's show as well as suggestions for future topics and guests. Get in touch with me on LinkedIn or visit us at www.leadersenigma.com. Don't forget to rate, review and subscribe on all your major podcast platforms and on our dedicated YouTube channel. Thanks again for joining the community.